you finally muster up the courage to say it out loud, your dream. I want to become a chartered accountant. Then the whispers follow. Are you sure? People like you don't make it. The doubts echo louder than your own thoughts. It's now late at night after a long, hard day of grind, and you're staring at your textbooks. You ask yourself, can you silence the noise and prove them wrong? Today, we are joined by incoming CTA student and BCom accounting graduate at the University of Pretoria, Brian Venings, and we chat about his journey of overcoming the naysayers and pursuing his goal of becoming a CA of SA. We also chat about starting his self-improvement journey and gamifying your studies, his journey from financial sciences into accounting sciences, the four pillars of life framework, lessons from boarding school experience, his career ambitions for Africa, the difference between responsibility and accountability, oh, and you guessed it, more. I hope that you enjoy. My travelers on the road to CASA. Happy holidays. In the spirit of holidays, in the spirit of rest, I was thinking about this idea that I heard the other day around work-rest balance. Now, we all know like work-life balance. How do you balance the ratio between work and life, right? But this idea of work-rest balance, which I think is really valuable, and I just wanted to share it in the spirit of this period of rest for us, is basically now looking at work as a matter of life, as an integral part of it. So improving your relationships, that takes some work. Making sure that you are healthy, it takes some work. Exercise, it takes some work. Instead of seeing work as work in your professional career, it's more work as an effort. And then rest being, when are you replenishing and recovering in order to apply effort? So that could be those rejuvenating activities like reading or going for a walk. Or it could even be exercise. Maybe you like to jog and that gets you into a restful sort of state. Walk is a great example. Sleep, naps, all those types of things. I want us to just think about our work-rest balance this holiday. Think about when we're setting our New Year's resolutions and whatnot. About how are we going to balance our rest with our work? Just a little thought before the episode. Hope you enjoy it. It's going to be a fire one. On to the episode. Welcome back, my people. This is the Road to CA podcast, the show for aspiring chartered accountants to inspire, empower, and inform the difference makers of tomorrow. Today, we're joined by a workhorse. When man pulls up and puts his head down, he's dialed in and dedicated to the task at hand. He has big dreams for his life as a CA and an even bigger love and dedication to God as a Christian, a man forging his future through faith. He sings in his spare time, interestingly. He loves to cook, gym, read, golf. He loves to play tennis as well and play chess. He's got an eclectic range of interests. We'll definitely talk about the singing one for sure. He's a third year accounting sciences student at the University of Pretoria. He's the man. He's my friend. We're joined by Brandon Venings. Brandon, how are you, bro?
I'm good. Thanks. And you, Ilunga. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here on this podcast. It's been honestly a very big privilege just being invited and everything. Quite excited and a bit nervous, but we'll take it as it comes.
Dude, I have been waiting for this. I have actually been
having this in anticipation, because we always have these interesting conversations.
Oh, definitely. During class. Almost too much, you know, distracting from the lectures, taking away. No, it's honestly, it's always nice just in class, always talking and then just bouncing ideas back and forth and things that we saw and interesting things that we read and whatnot.
I like that you have a really wide range of interests.
Oh, yeah.
I could tell, like, even when I first met you, that, like, you went down the self-improvement rabbit hole.
Oh, yes. That's been a thing my entire life. It's been this bug that's been itching and scratching at me the entire time, and I've just been addicted to it.
When did you start?
So, in terms of the self-improvement thing, I think it started a bit in high school, because I felt quite insecure about myself. I wasn't the biggest guy in the room. I wasn't the smartest guy in the room. And I knew I could definitely max out my stats because I was playing games a lot. And I saw it as like a stat board of sorts where I've got, okay, strength this much, you know, intelligence this much, whatnot. But I can improve and upgrade those things. So I saw it almost like a game type of upgrading system. So which part am I focusing up on? Let me go and level up those parts. And then from there on out, I just gunned it. So
that's such a... I think we could use that same approach to accounting. You probably do, but
yes.
Like, we don't view it as a game where you get these incremental gains. I don't like using marks, but maybe your process, maybe your understanding of every topic. You could have like a point system for that.
Yes, no, definitely. You can measure it to some regard. You can use hours spent studying. You can, but for me, I use my point system, my marks, as an indication of where I am. Because as much as I do believe I put in effort and whatnot, at the end of the day, my marks kind of reflect my knowledge to some regard. Yes. It's not the final one. I might have just had a bad day or something. But it is a good indication to show, okay, there are weak areas that I'm not focusing on. Let me go and dissect those areas.
And that is important, to see the marks as an indicator.
Yes.
I think like the danger with even the way the whole school system has gone is we ascribe our self-worth to the marks.
Oh, yes. No, definitely. I mean, math, I was always good in math. Primary school, I mean, the first time my dad told me I should do an accounting job was when I was like 5 years old.
Really?
So we were at this voting station or something. I think it was five, around about that time. At a voting station, there was this massive sign, and my brother could read all the words on the sign. It was so amazing, and everybody was clapping hands. And they asked me, can I read it? And I was like, no, but I can tell you how many characters there are on the sign. And that was the first time my dad was like, this guy's more numbers guy. And from there on out, just been a thing on numbers and math. And then high school came around and some of my math just dropped to 60%. And it was like, what the flip is going on? And obviously in high school, 60% is death. And
Not death, but it's like, it's the thing is, that's another thing. Like, it's all a standards thing.
Oh, yes.
Because for you, that's like, yo. But for other guys, it's like,
No, I get you. I 100% get you. No, but I mean, thing is, like, all the cool groups and whatnot were the high-performing kids in my high school.
Interesting.
And that's how it was. And if you weren't doing that well, you wouldn't fit in with the group anymore. And that's kind of where I started realizing that my worth shouldn't be attached to this mark that I'm getting. And, I mean... Then somehow I just turned it around end of grade 11. I just got 81% at the end of matric. So, and I kicked everyone's asses. Nobody else did it. I mean, I think in the Afrikaans group, I think I was top three. Yeah, for our school. So,
And what would you say gave you that get up and go to change it?
It was actually indirectly my accounting teacher's fault.
Oh.
So it's kind of what happened was I wanted to always do accounting from the word go, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then when I was taking accounting in high school, she said, you won't be a good accountant.
Really?
Yeah. Well, she implied it more than she said it directly. But the words were just very harmful at the time. And I was like...
Well, like, what around did she say? Because, like, it actually gets into an idea that I'll riff off of. But what around did she say?
So essentially, I got a test, and the previous test I did quite well. And then the next test I think I did 70% for the first one. And then the next one I got like, let's say 50%.
Yeah.
You know? And then she asked us, what are we planning on studying? Because in the grade 11, you start applying already. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I'm going to probably do BCom accounting. And she was like, I wouldn't really want you to do my books. But she said that kind of when I was leaving the class. So I was like, okay, well, yeah.
That is so interesting. So the idea that I wanted to get to was this idea that I believe words mean nothing.
Mm.
And I'll explain that. Basically, if you have a page with a bunch of words, words mean nothing. It's actually the message behind the words means everything. So she might not have said it directly,
but
there was something that stuck for you.
Oh, definitely.
And I really believe, like, at the end of the day, your words are just an ink on the page. But even in accounting, when you have evidence, when you have examples, when you can have experiences that bring words to life, it turns ink into inspiration or destruction in your case.
Yes, no, it was, I think it was a bit of destruction in the beginning. And then I started realizing I can use this as constructive criticism.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Just turn it around into something positive. You know, you don't want me to be your accountant? Cool, I'll be the best accountant. Mm. And you'll regret saying that, you know? And that's kind of the mindset that started happening in matric. And then didn't get into accounting science.
That's so interesting. Eh?
Yeah, didn't get into quite disappointing.
Started in FS.
Started in financial science. Yeah, not disappointing at all, but you can't compare the 2 degrees at all. It's just...
and you can say that because you've been in both.
Oh, definitely, definitely. First year financial science. So I still had that mindset of I'm not giving up on this thing. Didn't meet the criteria in the first year. I think it was economics. Didn't make it. That's why I still kind of despise economics. I'm not going to say it too loudly, but it definitely played against me. And second year financial science also went fairly all right first semester. And then I wasn't planning on doing the accounting thing anymore. I was like, you know what, I'm not going to make it. It was basically done. Mm. I kind of gave up because, I mean, I got rejected applying full first year.
Twice
and then,
now.
Yeah. And then my friend now, Carlo, we weren't really friends in second year. Like we knew each other. He was kind of there in the class. He was obviously talking a lot. And then he said to me randomly out of the blue, you know what, do you want to join me, try and apply for accounting? And I kind of forgot about the entire thing. And he was like, just try. Your marks are looking good. Just try. Applied. And I think out of 90 applications, only like 5 or 7 got accepted, and me and Carlo were the guys that got accepted. So yeah, we got accepted, second year started, and it was basically hell in the beginning. Yeah. Like, I mean, I had to catch up the entire first year module in about 2 weeks.
Yo.
So we were sitting there scratching our heads, just bashing back and forth, how the flip. And the worst of all is, like, we didn't really have our standards with us, but the academic trainee for the first years, Randy, kind of helped us and said,
Randy Seda.
So he gave us an old set of standards, I think the 2020 version of the standards. So he said, take this and try reading it and then trying to apply the principles. Mm. And I was like, okay, cool. Read the standard for the first time. I was like, this looks crazy. What do you mean? What do you mean? There's bloody words. It doesn't make sense at all. So so we and then second year started. And I don't know what happened. It's just been a blur. Like the first semester of my second year in accounting was just a blur. I can't remember anything. I just remember halfway through the year almost waking up in the sense of, oh, and then it became a breeze in that regard for second year. It just became easier to understand and work with this. And my eyes kind of just opened up. And that's, and that's also kind of when my Christian journey
really
started also picking up, because I really questioned everything in life. Because I was like, you know, what do I actually want out of life? And then that's when I started questioning each part of my life. I call it my 4 pillars, my health, wealth, relationships, and faith. And I started questioning all those pillars in detail, dissecting am I a Christian? Let me find out. Let me go do research on Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, all these things. Read up on their books a bit and find out. And then I realized for me, Christianity was the way to go. And also, for everything else in my life, I started realizing my relationships are super important. And because my grandfather also passed away, so it was like also a thing of like, I can't waste time and I've got to appreciate everything. So I've got to be this all-rounder in a lot of sense, not just in terms of accounting, but in every aspect of my life so I can benefit others as much as possible. Because I'm not doing accounting for myself. I love accounting. I love numbers. But it's to help my family as much as possible, help my friends as much as possible, and be that guy that people can rely on. Because I feel like that's lacking in nowadays. Nobody has a spine to stand and rely on. And sometimes you just got to be that guy. And I want to be that guy. That guy that might not be best title that you'll see in a movie or whatnot, but in the history books you'll read, oh, flip, this guy did so much, but nobody recognized him at his age. So, you know, so that type of thing, that's kind of...
And that's why I said in the beginning, you have huge dreams. You have huge dreams. And I respect that it's not just dreams. You're backing it by action.
Mm.
You're backing it by, you know, putting in the work to get to the next level.
Definitely.
I really admire that about you. That I also like the way you don't look to just today. It's like, dude, you can't just focus on money only.
Yeah.
You can't just focus on God only.
Yeah.
Like my old school had this motto. It said, through work and prayer.
Yeah.
You know, you think that you just pray and then God gives you stuff.
Yes.
No, you've got to back it.
Yeah, no, look. Work. Yeah, no, look, God never promises you anything. Mm. Now, he might give you the resources, but he won't give you the end product. You've got to go make that.
Yeah.
Let's say it's a cake. He'll give you the ingredients, cool, but he won't give you the cake. You've got to go make it yourself.
Mm.
Our school's motto was facta non verba, which essentially just means shut up and work.
Really?
It's in essence, it just means...
look, what's the nice version of that?
It just essentially says, just go and work hard. It was a very strict school, in terms of uniform and everything. Like, if your tie was not neat, you get shots. If you disrespected girls, shots. If you didn't wait for girls to exit the door first, shots.
Was this the hostel life, though?
That was everything.
Everyone.
Hostel was worse.
Because,
I mean, I had to clean my room 24/7. And they were, doing military inspections to some extent. Like, literally check if your mattress and your covering and everything was neat and 90 degree angle, and whether your clothes are neatly laid out, whether your room is swept, whether you dusted off and everything. And if you didn't do it, guess what? Shots. And that's just how it worked. So.
Yeah. So in high school, when did you go to hostel? So Brandon basically became a boarder over his time. When did that happen?
Instantly.
The whole time.
From the day word go. Because I technically stay in Stanerton. But I went to high school in Ermelo.
Okay.
So obviously my parents didn't want to drive me every day, and they didn't want to buy a house on that side. So we just went to the hostel.
Mm.
It was the easiest thing, and they had the facility, so why not? So.
Yeah. Mm. And you learned a lot. What did you learn from it?
Oh, definitely it's brotherhood. You know, I remember especially in first year, we were drilled. We were doing funny stuff, PT constantly. We'd be woken up 2 o'clock in the morning, and you've got to go and do PT until you throw up. And that's the rule. And
what's PT?
PT, it's like a flippin' intense training. you run around the track for it. Like one of the things, we had to literally run around the rappy field until you throw up. There was no limit. You run and run, and they kept a timer. And if your speed decreases, you get shots as you're doing it. So it was intense training. You just cardio times 10. It was literally like that. So, and you kind of just get a sense of brotherhood. So, and then they do also other stuff where you're kind of forced to do it together. You've got to hook in with each other and run across the rappy field, and you've got to do it in X amount of time. And if you don't do it, guess what? You've got to do it again. Got to do it again. Then you started realizing, I'm with you guys now. So let's do this together. It's not me. I can run on my own. Cool. But I know for a fact, if I just run on my own, none of you are going to make it. So let's do it together. Let's finish it together so we can actually go to bed or something. And then, yeah.
That's interesting about the brotherhood thing, because I also went to boarding school. And I found that the way that we are forced to work together, or pretty much just die. We're not literally.
Yes, yes, yes.
But that having to work together, having to work with others, I think it's so valuable, because no one exists in isolation. No man is an island. And when you learn early that that's the case, I think you're far better set up in life. What I find is in these day schools, sometimes it's easy. In fact, it can be very easy to just be by yourself.
Oh, definitely.
Teamwork isn't embedded in the system.
No, it's not.
You know?
You know, because technically, and this is now a bit more conspiracy, but I feel like they also do set you up more to be an employee, more than an entrepreneur than anything else. And but yeah, like coming from that to Varsity, that was a big jump. Because the thing is, like, not just in terms of work, but actually people around you. Going from a close hostel environment where you go visit your friends and hang out, to all of a sudden isolation, don't know anyone.
Yeah.
And it was COVID online, so I didn't even get to know anyone for the first year of studies, really. So it was, yeah, a big adjustment, you know, getting used to that. And I think now I'm starting to get back into it fully and back to that old system of being together in a brotherhood type of thing and just a community in general. That's nice. So,
on you just said, you mentioned a little conspiracy.
Yeah.
But I am interested in exploring it. Do you want to become an entrepreneur through CA or do you want to...
Oh, yes, definitely. I want to own like a nice company of sorts. I don't know exactly what I want to do yet with that company. That part I'm uncertain of. But I want a nice company that is at some point should become a non-profit to basically just help Africa. Because I feel like Africa can be one of the strongest places in the entire world, just in general. But we are so limited with our own mindsets and ideas and selfishness. Like, that's the biggest thing I think Africa suffers from, selfishness. And because of that, I want to fix that as best as I possibly can. I don't want to be president or anything like that, but I want a company that any rural area, let's go fix it up. Let's install solar and whatnot. So because of this new technology that's coming out, it's so much easier to be able to set up these people with better housing, with better everything, and just give them normal living conditions. I'm not saying you've got to have a 5-star hotel, but geez, just a nice house, nice bed, a place you can get water from and learn how to grow crops and sustain yourself. I mean, that's the bare minimum. And if you can do that, Africa will start thriving. I can guarantee it. It's definitely...
You know, today, like my brother, I think my brother said this, but politics, it's in some ways dead as a vehicle for change. And the new politics is lobbying. It's the business guys who run the stuff.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's definitely the business guys at the end of the day that drive the economy the most.
They drive everything.
Yeah. And for me now, I've noticed, and I feel like the system should change in general. As far as I know, in South Africa, you've got to be 40 years old to apply for presidency. Really? So, as far as I know, I can be wrong, but I think I did a search and that's what it came up. It might be a Wikipedia, so it can be wrong.
Wikipedia is actually really good because it's peer-reviewed. That's the thing about it.
Well, anyone
can make changes.
But yeah, they do reverse it at some point if you make a mistake or whatnot. But as far as I know, it was 40 years old, which, I mean, in my opinion, yes, that's good to have life experience, but now you're getting into that stage of you are 3-4 generations now past the newest people that are coming in, what they want and what they actually want to achieve. And the problem is with being 40, 50, whatever, and becoming president is you become old and you become lazy in a sense. You don't really want to do much anymore. You're a leader and you're probably a great leader for that, but you don't really want to inspire change because that requires effort. And you already gained that position now, so now why would I want to do effort anymore? Whereas, in my opinion, a bit more of a youngster, let's say 30, 35, he can probably make a bit more of a change because he's still got some energy to do it and put in more effort and do radical change more than just any change. And
look, the problem with radicalism is it's radical. I think you know, as much as even myself, I aspire to be an entrepreneur, I aspire to take the risk. Risk is a real thing, especially on that level. So radical changes at that level, I don't know if it's wise, eh?
I mean, it depends on who you are voting for, and that's that should be the point of it. It shouldn't. If this guy wants to do anything radical, fine, allow him to. But let's see what that radical is, and let's see his argument behind it. He's got to substantiate this, in my opinion. And obviously, that's probably where my system would probably fall apart in that regard. But I still think some radical change is needed. It can't just be the same system that's slowly changing over time, and maybe at some point it'll make a difference. I feel like someone almost needs to step in and just throw everyone in the deep end, you know, kind of that type of thing, holds you accountable. And I think that's also a big part. Nobody's held accountable anymore for their actions. It's got to be someone else pointing fingers to whoever. And even with this degree, like, if you do bad, oh no, it was the lecture, it was you know what, I had a bad day, oh my family, and there's so many excuses. But at the end of the day, it's you, it's no one else. It's just you making that mistake, failure, whatever it is, success. It's you, and nobody's held responsible for, or accountable for that at all. So,
I've actually thought about the difference between responsibility and accountability. So, I believe we are accountable because we have to be. Yeah. What is accountability? It's answering to the thing. In this course, when you get the mark, there really isn't anyone else you can turn to because you're the first one who sees it in the grades portal. You're the first person who sees it. Maybe the last, hopefully not, because it's important to just keep your marks open to the people around you, I think, for that accountability.
Yes, yes.
But everyone's accountable. What we really lack is responsibility. Because responsibility has the implication that now you have to do something.
Yes. No.
Now you actually have to act responsibly over this thing. You have to make the changes.
Now you're getting you basically laser focused on what you're doing now. It's being responsible for that action. It's
exactly.
Yes. So,
I think the real thing that a lot of people struggle with, including myself, is responsibility. It's so easy to say, you know, as much as I'm accountable, it's my mark. It's not the lecturer's mark, but the lecturer didn't lecture this very well.
Yeah.
She rushed over it, or he didn't give us this specific aspect. He said this one was self-study.
Yes, yes.
There's always a choice to blame it on something else or someone else. There's always. And that comes down to responsibility. That comes down to, dude, are you willing to just take it, own it?
And I think you're right with the responsibility more than accountability. It's more the action that you're doing behind it. And what are you responsible for now? And I mean, at the end of the day, it is you. And especially with this degree. Definitely. If you don't read up on your standards often, if you don't look at your content often, if you don't apply the pyramid method or whatnot often.
Oh, Tato's the learning pyramid.
Such a great... I tried it now the last two days before this weekend and whatnot. Oh, it's just been working like a charm. It's just been... I don't know. It's just like adding oil to a car or something. It's just been smooth. I've just been understanding the work a lot better. It's just been... Yeah, it's honestly been quite
If good. You haven't checked out that episode, guys, because I think it was really valuable.
Oh, definitely.
Like, dude, the way it primes your brain, eh?
Oh, definitely. Like, I mean, I even cancelled my consultation with Gareth. You know, it's the
you
type
can afford
of,
to.
I can afford to, because literally I wanted to go to Gareth and ask him, how can I approach this thing? And once I listened to that episode, it was like day and night difference. I was like, let me try this method. And because it just
Gareth's our AT, by the way. this is all over, bro.
It just made sense, and the logic behind it also made sense. And then I did it, and I even, like, when I started asking the financial management lecture questions on the topic before the class even starts, she's like, oh, that's next week's work already. And she got impressed. I just saw this thing on her smile. She got excited and everything. So definitely that's probably the biggest thing that I liked the most was that
the learning pyramid, guys. Dude, you were / maybe are to be continued in part 2. See you next week.